The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Today I would like to talk about how Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Here at Good News Ministries, I see brokenheartedness every day. One of the ways that I see it is through our prayer network. We have on our website a place where you can come and post your prayer requests. And those prayer requests are very often filled with brokenheartedness. I know you have some brokenheartedness too. I mean, everybody does. I myself have had a lot of suffering in my life, a lot of situations where, yes, my heart broke. And in some of those situations, it's still broken. But yet, God wants us to live in the joy that comes from having Him first and foremost in our life. God's plan is for each of us to know how much He cares about us, and that includes how much He desires to heal us when we are suffering. Now, some suffering is our carrying of the cross. Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." That doesn't just mean become a Christian, become a follower of mine, and, you know, what does carrying the cross mean to you? What's the basic idea behind carrying the cross? Being willing to suffer like Jesus did? You know, for example, laying down your life for your friends, for your family. These are what Jesus said we are to lay down our lives for. It comes from putting Jesus first in our lives, making sacrifices of things that we used to enjoy doing, but now we put that aside in order to spend time with Jesus. For example, you know, we could be doing many other things on Sunday instead of going to church. But by putting Jesus first, we are making a sacrifice. That's a form of carrying the cross. But the cross that I want to talk about today is the cross of brokenheartedness. And sometimes Jesus heals us rather quickly from broken hearts. And most of the time, however, I would say it takes a while. Why? Because the other person or persons who have caused us to be brokenhearted, their free will is interfering with what God wants to do to bring about reconciliation. But meanwhile, Jesus is there for you. Jesus is there for each of us in our pains and sufferings to make our burdens lighter. Jesus said, "Follow me, take up my yoke, for my burden is easy." Now, how can the burdens of brokenheartedness be easy? It doesn't seem to make sense. It's not going to be easy again until it's healed, right? Until the person who has broken our heart, has reconciled with us, who has made amends, has apologized, or whatever it takes to make things right. But the mystery of being a follower of Christ is that we can be suffering, carrying a cross, and at the same time have joy. And the joy comes from knowing that Jesus is on our side. The joy comes from knowing that Jesus really cares about us. And I'm going to try to help you feel that caring in this episode of Footsteps to Heaven. When our hearts get broken, It is a form of a cross. Sometimes someone has nailed you to a cross. Think about it in terms of if you are unable to reach out and bring about reconciliation, or reach out and do something that you feel called by the Lord to do, or reach out and help the person who's broken your heart to find the path to Christ, because you know once they turn their lives over to Christ, then whatever caused us to feel brokenhearted is going to be healed. You know, that could be one situation that you're facing, for example. But perhaps someone is preventing you from doing anything, preventing you from reaching out, preventing you from doing what you know is the right thing to do. He's nailed, or she has nailed you to the cross. Carrying the cross often leads to being nailed to the cross. But what also does it lead to? Resurrection. The cross always leads to resurrection. And we can't experience resurrection without first going through some kind of cross. So, in whatever has broken your heart, there is resurrection that Jesus has in mind to give you. Let's look at some of the scriptures that assure this. One of my favorites is Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then Psalm 34, verse 18 says something similar. This one I like even more. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to you when you have a broken heart. But it's not always to realize, to feel, to be aware of his closeness, is it? And why is that? It's usually because our focus is so much on the source of our pain, the source of our suffering, what has caused us to have a broken heart, that we don't see Jesus. We don't see his hand at work. We have in our minds what it is that would make things better. And when it's not happening, we stay focused, don't we? Our attention stays riveted to what is causing us the pain. Our attention stays riveted to what is hurting our heart and what we are longing for and the solutions to that, the way we would like God to heal us. When our focus, our attention is on what causes the suffering and how we think the suffering should be dealt with, our eyes are not on Jesus. When we turn our eyes onto Jesus, or in other words, when we take time to stop and pray, stop and meditate, stop and read scriptures, stop and go to a counselor, a therapist, a spiritual director, something that puts the brakes on what we're going through so that we can put our focus back on God. That's when we discover how close he is to us. We can't be any closer to Jesus than when we are on the cross with him. And whatever crosses you're carrying, Jesus is carrying it with you because it's his cross. It's the same cross. In one way or another, it's the same cross. It's the cross of condemnation, the cross of rejection, the cross of sin, other people's sins. And when you feel like you're hanging on a cross, someone has nailed you to a cross, it's the cross of Jesus. You can't get any closer to Jesus than right then when you're on that cross. And remember, every cross leads to a resurrection. That's the healing that Jesus wants to provide to you. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, at the very beginning of Jesus's public ministry, he's in a synagogue. And it's his turn. The people there invite him to be the person who reads the scripture that they're going to discuss. And the scriptures open up to Isaiah 61, verse 1. And Jesus reads this, and he says, after reading it, now this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release from darkness to the prisoners, etc., etc. What I want to focus on is how he said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That is part of the mission of Christ. That is his mission in your life right now, today. So let's take a look at how this happens. How does he do it? First of all, let's look at the when of it. When does he heal? When is he going to heal your broken heart? He's doing it now. God is always a God of now. He is offering healing right now. It also happens when we make ourselves available to it. You're doing that right now by listening to this podcast. But what are other ways that you can make yourself available to the healing of Jesus? One of the ways that he does it most often for me is during Mass. And by the way, in previous episodes of Footsteps to Heaven, I did a whole series about going deeper into the Mass. By listening to that series, you can find more of the healing that Jesus wants to give you, because every part of the Mass offers some healing. And when we really understand and pay attention to what's going on in the Mass, what the prayers are doing, what's being accomplished by God in us during the Mass, we are making ourselves available to his healing love, his healing mercy. Another way to make yourself available is by going away on a retreat. Are you tired of what's causing you to feel brokenhearted? It's time to go away. Break away from the routines. Break away from what is causing you to remember and continue to experience what is breaking your heart. Give yourself the treat of a retreat, even if it doesn't seem logical to take time off to do it. Even if there doesn't seem to be a way, look for a way. Jesus wants to provide the way. On our website, we even have some online retreats that you might find helpful. But getting away physically, removing yourself from the atmosphere, from the location of where you are aware of being brokenhearted, this is part of the healing process, because this is where God can get our attention in stronger ways and therefore more healing ways. Going to a therapist, going to a spiritual director, as I mentioned before, these are also when he heals, and we need to avail ourselves of this. And how does he heal us when we make ourselves available to him for healing? The first step, and this might surprise you, this might go against the logic that's in your thinking process. The first step is to embrace the brokenheartedness. Yeah, embrace it. What do we do instead? And this is what needs to stop. This is what I mean by embracing the brokenheartedness. We need to stop blaming others. Yes, others are at fault for breaking your heart, but blaming them has not brought you any healing, has it? And by blaming, I mean focusing in on, if only they would repent, if only they would change, I can finally be healed. We need to forgive. You, my friend, need to forgive. The first step to healing your broken heart is to forgive. Not because the other person wants to change, not because the other person has come to you and asked for forgiveness, because that might not happen, or it may take a long time before it happens. But forgiving the other person sets us free from their control over our emotions. Forgiving them gets us down off of the cross that they have nailed us to. forgiving them means we don't forget what they've done. We need to do what it takes to be safe or to become safe if we're not yet safe. It means we need to remember what needs to happen in order for everything to be the way the Lord wants it to be. But forgiving as in, Lord, they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them, Lord, and help me to forgive them. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice that you make because you want to be set free from the pain that they are causing you. Now, even after forgiving them, and I mean really fully letting go of the unforgiveness, the desire for revenge, the desire to retaliate, the desire to punish them, even after forgiving them, we will still have a broken heart. Because the broken heart comes from realizing that things are not the way God wants them to be. Things are not the way they should be. And yes, I mentioned not just the way you want them to be, but the way God wants them to be, because you instinctively know that things are wrong because it's not the way God wants them to be. Your pain, your suffering comes from being united to the suffering that Jesus is feeling over the same issue, the same problem. Jesus is brokenhearted with you. He wants everyone to be full of God's love and fully giving his love to everyone else. And every time that doesn't happen, Jesus too is brokenhearted. But that's not all that Jesus is. Jesus is also full of joy because there's many other things in life to celebrate. And he is also full of caring about you and wanting to bring joy to you. So the first step is, like I said, to embrace the brokenheartedness and take it to Jesus and say, heal me, Lord. I am brokenhearted. This situation has broken me and I need your healing. Bind me back together. And you know what? He binds you to himself, not to the person who has broken you, but to himself. Another step that we need to take is to stop trying to be in control of the situation. Stop trying to make the other person do what would resolve the problem. Stop telling God how the problem should get solved. Stop insisting that needs to be the way I think it needs to be because that's what's going to make me happy. We need to let go of that. We need to trust God so much and have faith in God so much that we surrender our control over to what he thinks is best, even before we know what his plans are. And sometimes we have to do that every day because we don't know what his plans are today. There's someone in my life who broke my heart 2 decades ago, and I'm still praying for reconciliation with this person. This person refuses to do anything to reconcile the relationship. It's a family member who I love, and he says he loves me, but at the same time, he wants nothing to do with me. He wants no communication with me. He gives me no communication. He wants no communication from me, and he makes sure that I can't or won't. And so, you know, when love has no action to it, it's not love. A person can say, I love you, and if he then abuses you, as is in many of the cases of people who are listening to this, if your brokenheartedness is coming from somebody abusing you, their love that they profess is not real love. And that's what is really making you brokenhearted more than anything else. Or in my case, when the person says, you know, I love you, but I don't want anything to do with you, that's not love. Love reaches out to the other person. Love does good to the other person. Love seeks reconciliation. Love seeks to right what was wrong that maybe caused the breakup in the first place. But we need to not try to control the situation. We need to let go of the desire to make the other person do what we think will fix things. We need to trust God. Getting back to my example, for many years, the brokenheartedness that I felt, the pain that I felt, was excruciating. I mean, I felt very nailed to the cross. I wasn't able to do anything to make it better. And I felt deep sorrow over what had happened. Deep sorrow over the rejection that I was experiencing. And as I talked to the Lord about it, taking time out to put my focus back on the Lord and seek His healing, make myself available to His healing, the first thing that He showed me over and over and over again is He said to me, "This is but a tiny bit of the pain that I feel. I'm letting you feel this pain so that you become more aware of my pain, how much I suffer over everyone who rejects me." Jesus wanted me to know how very, very much He suffers over every person who rejects Him. And wow, that's billions of people. Because He wanted me to be impassioned to do my ministry. He wanted to heal other people's brokenheartedness through me. He wanted me to reach out to the lost souls that are hurting, breaking the heart of Jesus. He wants me to reach out to them and help them find Him so that I can be healing the heart of Jesus. Because here is an important principle about suffering. Pointless pain leads to destruction. But pain that is turned into a purpose, a mission, a ministry, achieves great things for the kingdom of God, eternal things, benefits, blessings that will last for all of eternity. Pointless pain leads to destruction. And who's happy about it when you are feeling the destruction of your suffering? Not God. You know, it's the enemy who is happy about it. It's the devil who's happy about it. Pointless pain is pain that leads to destruction because all we're focused on is ourselves and the other person who's hurt us and what we think needs to be done to fix things. But when we let go of that and say, "Lord, heal me. Lord, work your miracles in me and through me. Use what I am learning from my sufferings for the benefit of others." Because in your sufferings, my friend, you are learning very valuable things. For example, if you are suffering from your own past sins, maybe you killed an unborn child, maybe you had an affair, maybe you were driving drunk and you hurt somebody or even killed somebody, whatever your past sins are that still bother you. And they might not be as drastic as the examples I just gave, but if they are still bothering you, there's something to learn from your past sins. And if you know that you've been forgiven and it's not bothering you anymore, yes, you regret that it happened, but you're not feeling destroyed by it anymore. What you learned in turning your life around, there are other people who need to learn it too. If you're suffering from rejection, what have you learned about how much God cares about you? There are other people who are suffering from rejection too, and they need to hear it as well. Did you have a midlife crisis? What did you learn from that? Were you married to someone who had a midlife crisis? And during their struggle with that, they hurt you and you were brokenhearted. What did you learn about how to deal with a midlife crisis? There are others who could benefit from that. What has God taught you? What has God told you in whatever has caused you suffering? There are others who can benefit from that. When we allow God to turn our pains into purpose, it doesn't hurt nearly so bad anymore. This is one of the ways that God heals us. This is the most important, most valuable way that we experience healing. If you are brokenhearted because of unanswered prayer, and now I'm talking about God is the one who is letting you down. God is the one who is seemingly hurting you. You're brokenhearted because there's a prayer request that you've been really putting a lot of time and effort into and it's not getting answered. And you're the brokenheartedness is a double whammy now because of whatever the situation was that you're praying about. There's some brokenheartedness there. The lack of God answering your prayers, there's a really big brokenheartedness there. The way to be healed and to make yourself available to the healing of God when brokenheartedness comes from unanswered prayer is not only to remind yourself, and you're probably already doing this, that God sees the bigger picture and God is working a plan that you can't see yet and it's better than what you can ask for or imagine, but the healing that you need comes from realizing that when we feel brokenhearted about how God's treating us, it seems like God's the one breaking our heart, we're actually doing something called projection. We're actually projecting onto God the way humans have disappointed us, the way humans have let us down, the way humans have not responded to our needs. Realize that God is the perfect Father, that Jesus is the perfect friend. God, in his goodness, did not leave me in my pain. Yes, there was value in me realizing that my pain was connected to Jesus' own pain of how people reject him. And yes, it did motivate me to do ministry. But he didn't leave me there to continually suffer that pain. One day, as I was again lifting the situation up in prayer to the Lord, I felt God the Father say to me, I heard the words, "It is good." And I thought, what's good? You know, and with that word spoken, "It is good," he gave me a complete healing. I no longer felt the pain of being nailed to the cross. I no longer felt the pain of being brokenhearted. The situation has not resolved yet, but I have not, since that day a few years ago, felt the pain, sadness from time to time, but not the pain of being brokenhearted. He wants to heal you too. Realize that there's an old wound that is contributing to the pain of your brokenheartedness. And do something to deal with that old wound. Go to someone who can lead you through therapy or through some kind of inner healing process, or do what you can to separate what people have done to you from from what God is like, from what you think God is like based on the way people have treated you, to what God is really like. That takes some time, that takes some effort, but make yourself available to God's healing by reflecting on what is it about God that you feel is letting you down? Who let you down? What human being let you down that way? And then saying, Lord, but you're not that person. You are the perfect lover. You are the perfect friend. You are the perfect one in my life. And to help with that, pray with me now. Pray with me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father God, the people who are listening to this episode are suffering from some kind of brokenheartedness. You know what that is. You know what their pain is. You know what you are trying to do, have done, and will be doing to heal them. You know what kind of important purpose you can turn their pain into. Lord, I pray that right now they can feel your touch, your anointing on them, your healing embrace. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in their lives and in their hearts right now. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to turn my pains into purpose by sharing these podcasts with them. Amen. And now, my friend, to help make yourself be more open to the healing love of God, pray this prayer with me, the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint me so that I may be more aware of the healing that Jesus, my Savior, is giving me and the hug that God the Father is giving me. Come, Holy Spirit, work in me, increase my faith, help me, Holy Spirit, in every way that I need help. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me so that I may be open to all the healing that God wants to give to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.